ministry of Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. Our vision, bringing people into the full realization of their potential in God, and our mission, building a community of believers whose lifestyle positively influences change in the society. Welcome to Lighthouse. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregon, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org.
Corinthians chapter 5 this morning, I want to explain something that is uppermost in the heart of the church at the moment. People are asking questions. Why is it that evangelism is not as effective as the way it should be? Why is it that it seems as if the world is antagonistic to the gospel? The world is in chaos. You all knew what happened in the course of this week. How somebody will strap a camera around himself and has gone to go shoot people. And I watched the video. I couldn't finish it. But before Facebook and all of them took it off, I watched it. It was just so. So that tells you what we are dealing with. And the gospel is the solution. The gospel. I can't still figure it out. I will strip camera to go kill other people, and I'm streaming it live for the whole world to see. It's something that is out. So we have work in our hands. We have a responsibility. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Therapy is limited. People relapse. But once someone is saved, and he has embraced Jesus as their Lord, he can begin a walk. And the walk is evidence. The evidence of that walk, the progress of that walk, is known to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I read from verse 15 all through to 21. And he died for us, for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ. That's not the end. But has also given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them. For God did not send his son to the world that the world may be condemned. He sent his son, John 3:18, that the world may be saved through him. But God has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, that's our responsibility. We are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'd like to read from a couple of translations. I'll read it quickly. Please give me a message. Then if you don't have the passion, I will read it from my own Bible here. Message says, message of that translation, of what we just read, please, quickly this morning. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life, a resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. That's the work of Jesus. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have or how they look. We look at the Messiah that way once, and we got it all wrong. As you know, we suddenly don't look at him that way anymore. He's not the son of carpenter. He's not the one who walked along the street. He's not the one who made people stool. Now we look inside, and what we see is that if anyone is reunited with the Messiah, he gets a fresh start. It's created new. The whole life is gone. A new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationship with each other. God put the world square with himself through the Messiah, giving the world a fresh start by offering forgiveness of sins. God has given us the task of telling everyone what he's doing. We are Christ's representatives. God uses us to persuade men and women to drop their differences and enter into God's work of making things right between them. We are speaking for Christ himself now. Become friends with God. That's the message of the gospel. Because he's already a friend with you. Verse 21. How? You say, in Christ, God put the wrong on him who never did anything wrong, so we could be put right with God. Give me an amplified, please. And he died for us, for all, so that all those who live might no longer toe and for themselves, but toe and for him who died and was raised again for their sake. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view in terms of natural standards of value. No, even though we once did estimate Christ from a human point of view and as a man, yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in terms of the flesh. Verse 17, therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and the new has come. But all things are of God, who through Jesus Christ reconciled us to himself, received us into favor, brought us into harmony with himself, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that by word and deed we might aim to bring others into harmony with him. It was God personally present in Christ, reconciling and restoring the world to favor with himself, not counting and holding against men their trespasses, but canceling them and committing to us the message of reconciliation, of the restoration to favor. Verse 20, so we are Christ's ambassadors. We are making his appeal, as it were, through us. We, as Christ's personal representative, beg you for his sake to lay hold of the divine favor that now offered you and be reconciled to God. Verse 21, for our sake he made Christ virtually to be seen who knew no sin, that in and through him we might become endued with, viewed as being him, and examples of the righteousness of God, what we ought to be, approved and acceptable and in right relationship with him by his goodness. May the Lord our God bless the reading and the hearing of his word in our hearts this morning in Jesus' name. Anyone who believes in Christ possesses eternal life. You know, I'm just also passionate about the message of the gospel. The reason why we are not passionate to share it with other people is because of our limited understanding of what we have. If you know what you have, you will be willing to share it. Man is essentially of spirit. Or maybe let me put it back. God is a spirit. God is eternal. Spirits don't die. So man was created in the image and in the likeness of God. So man possesses the nature of God. The DNA of man is God's nature. It's called eternal life. So it automatically means that if God, man was created in the image of God, so man is also a spirit being. He has a soul, and then he lives in a body. With his body, he contacts his physical world. With his soul, his mind, the seat of his intellect, emotion, that's the awareness. He contacts his surroundings. He can reason things out. He has a will. He can make decisions. But man is essentially a spirit being. If we can understand that, because you and I, peradventure, as we are in this room, we are saved, it means our eternal home is guaranteed. But anyone who is not saved, as we will show as we proceed in this message, I think I have only a few minutes to do that. I'll continue next week. Anyone who is not saved, who doesn't have that assurance, is eternally lost. Man, when God created man, he created man in his own image. In Genesis 2:7, there was a transaction that took place. The Bible says, after God formed man from the dust. So he made his physical body, but God put into man the breath of life. But that's not the end. Man became another speaking spirit in the image of God. That's why Sammy said later that the heavens, even the heavens, belong to God, but this heart he has given to the sons of men to function. So man is a spirit being. He has a soul. He lives in a body. With his spirit man, he consults the spiritual. So if somebody is not in relationship with God, the person is spiritually dead. I mean, you and I know before you gave your heart to Jesus, when people are talking about vision, maybe except you come from places where vision has been taught in a certain way, but when people talked about the plan of God, when the people talk about hearing God, you feel that they are spooky. When you hear people say, God told me, or God spoke to me, or I prayed this morning, what generally people know about prayer is confession of sins. But for us who are believers in Christ, we are not, that's not just limited. Prayer is conversation, is communion with the source of our lives. So, man, when a believer, when anyone believes in Christ, he has what the Bible says, eternal life. Eternal life is not until you get to heaven. It starts now, the day you gave. You accept the worship. So anyone who believes in Christ possesses eternal life. When God created man, and man was in that communion, man was alive spiritually. God comes to him, he walks in the cool of the day. He had authority over his environment. The environment wasn't dominating him. But something happened. It is called disobedience. It is called transgression. I don't want to use the word sin. Don't do this, don't do this. And sin is actually spiritual death. You are not alive to God. So activities of sin will follow. When someone is dead spiritually, he can't see beyond his nose. What he has as a form of living is self. Anything outside self, he can't see. But there is a higher life. When man committed that treason, he sold out. He took on the nature of the devil. It's as simple as that. Anyone who does not have Christ, the nature that is operating in that person, because man is a spiritual being, there is nothing in spiritual life, nothing is in vacuum. Nothing is void. You are either filled with God or the nature of God, or you are filled with the nature of the devil. And you see, and that's why Jesus was able to say to us, he said, you are like your father, the devil. He said, his will you will do. His native language is life. And everything that comes in manifestation to that, that's what people will manifest. So if you have the nature of God, and based on what I just taught this morning, if you have truly the nature of God, there is capacity to love because God is love. I'm saying this so that he can begin to well up compassion. There's nothing called moralist before God. There are people who are not saved, who are moralists. And there are believers who are saved, who are non-moralists. But I'm saying this to you this morning, what you have, if you carry this nature, you won't sin. You won't make practice of sin. That's what I'm saying. Practice. There is that practice of sin, that you are spiritually dead to the voice of the Lord. When he's putting boundaries and restrictions around you, you are dead to that voice. Praise God. So man committed that treason. But that wasn't the end, because God loves man. He created man in his own image. So he made a plan. And Jesus came at the appointed time. He was the seed of the woman. And see, so he came. He lived to show us what God had as his original intention when he created man. Man is supposed to dominate his environment. So Jesus came, he lived, he dominated over sickness, he dominated over death. He showed us example by Lazarus' example. He showed us example that all those who were around him, who listened to him, who accepted him, he healed them all. In fact, the apostles, they summarize his life in Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth with Holy Ghost and with power, and he went about doing good. It wasn't recorded that he went about doing bad. He fed people. He healed their body. He housed them. You know, there were many things. So Jesus came, and then he died. That wasn't the end of the story. So his resurrection saved man from destruction. And so the life that God originally planned for man to live, man began that life the moment Jesus resurrected from the dead. And the benefit of it, it's when you accept Jesus, that sacrifice, he also gives you his Holy Spirit that lives on the inside of you. Can you now see? So if someone is not saved, he's spiritually dead. If someone is not saved, he does not have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them. So when we accept the sacrifice of Jesus, like we read in those passages, we are not modified. We are not refurbished. We are made anew. We are brand new creature. You can't compare our whole life with the life that we are living in. And if you're in this service, you don't know, and you want to make that decision, or you want to recommit yourself, I'll give you the opportunity very soon. You must know it. You must know within you. Everyone who believes the Son of God has the witness in himself. So there were transactions. So we were transported. So when a man is saved, he's transported from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son, the dominion of Satan into the dominion of Christ. And then the same person, because they are new creation, they are enlisted in God's army. They are members of his body. They are ambassadors. They represent him, because what we carry is the nature of God. We are his representative here on earth. Eternal life is God's DNA, which is imparted into everyone at the new birth experience. If you are saved, you are saved. If you are not saved, you are not saved. What are you saved from? A lot of people are saved today. They don't even know. Hey, three things. You are saved from spiritual death. You have access to God. You can hear his voice. You don't need a medium. The Holy Spirit lived on the inside of you. So you are saved from spiritual death. The sacrifice of Jesus, that's one. The second four, you are saved from poverty. The things that limit people. Life can be lived without limits. And then you are saved to live from sickness. Those are the curses that came upon man by reason of that first disobedience. Man was eternally lost spiritually. So death fastened on him. He limited his number of years. And then Jesus came to impart life in abundance back to man. So Christianity is a supernatural experience. It's a supernatural experience. We know Christ after the flesh. Son of carpenter. Is this not the son of carpenter? Are his brothers and his sister, are they not among us here? Yes. But when he rose from the dead, we can't interpret him after the manner. He has wrought the work of redemption. He has brought the captivity. He has taken it, raised them up. We are seated with Christ. Man is restored back to the original intention of God. And if you are compassionate in your heart, because you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people who are living under their potentials around you. So if you are passionate, you know the difference between yourself and them. Is this eternal life? You will be willing to do the work of an ambassador. An ambassador represents the home country. Our citizenship is in heaven. So we represent the home country and we must do the bidding of our home country. Praise God. In John chapter 10, verse 10, quickly I read. John chapter 10, Amplified Translation. John chapter 10, verse 10. He said, the thief comes only in order to steal and kill and destroy. That's the devil. He said, but I came, that's Jesus, that they may have. So you have eternal life. And then you must be enjoying. You know, some of these things we have taught to make people, even believers, to think, you know, they said teacher's reward is in heaven. No, teacher's reward, if they do well, can start here. So what I'm saying, eternal life begins the day you gave your heart. There is a legal and there is a vital aspect of our redemption. The legal aspect was what Jesus did on the cross 2,000 years ago. The vital is 2,000 years after. So if you are in this service and you are not saved and I make the call and then you give your you give that accent to that sacrifice of Jesus, then it becomes vital. You can apply it to your daily experience. You can cast the devil out immediately after you are saved. You can experience healing. Even outside Christ, you can still experience healing, but you can keep whatever you experience because you now have access to your full inheritance in Christ Jesus. Amen this morning. He said, I have come. And I say it under God every time. I just smile like this. And thank God it was not only the devil that came. Jesus also came. He came that we may have life. And then if we may enjoy life. And then and have it, how? In abundance to the point of it, what? Overflowing to other people.
This message is brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Outreach Center. The Lighthouse, House 7, Plot 2/3, Kudrata Biola Way, Oregun, Ikeja, Lagos. For inquiries, please log on to www.lighthouseng.org. For more.